Hi, Janet.
Hi, Tara.
Oh, you know, you and I were talking earlier about how this past week has been just such an extraordinary week for it, with all kinds of revelations and how fast things are moving these days with the evolution of consciousness in general in our own lives. And I wondered, you know, maybe if you could share about your own week this past week.
Well, there's never a dull moment. I am always amazed at things that all of a sudden come into focus or come into across the radar screen, you know?
Yes, it's quite challenging to keep up with it.
Well, it really is. And to figure it out, how to make sense of it. The more that I learn, the more I know I don't know. And that is always sort of challenging. And oh my, now what? But the thing that I've learned this week, which is just really boggles the mind, is what I shared on Facebook was a website. And it happened because of my general health and lack of energy. And I am sort of getting better, but it's like, oh my, slow and painful and all that. And somewhere along the line, it came back to me that sort of my particular profile is, as I've said before, different. But then everybody's different. There are just some of us that seem to be a little more different. And so I was wondering about my diet. You know how extreme I've become around my eating. And last week I was talking about I am what I eat, and what I eat eats.
Right.
That change. I kept thinking, have I fully explored that and really done everything I can do? And then I remember, well, I'm hypoglycemic. And that means I'm a bit on the acid side. And so I was talking to this wonderful young man that's helping me out in the kitchen as my personal chef, because I don't have the energy to cook for myself, and it's very, what I can eat is just so limited. And we were talking about how to be alkaline. And would he please eat more alkaline? And he said that he had been on the internet and found this website that had that chart of alkaline and acid foods and what's normal.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Well, as I looked at that and went onto that website, there was that most wonderful sort of explanation of our body. It was up in the nutritional chart section of that website, which was, oh my, what was it? Food Whisperer, www.foodwhisperer.
Right, something like that.
.com. And as I saw that, I thought, oh boy, this is so perfect, because it makes it very clear to me that I'm not going to be able to get enough alkalinity in my food. I'm going to have to get it other ways. And so I started drinking this Essentia water, which is plain water with a pH balance of 9.5 and electrolytes. And within 48 hours, I can tell the difference.
When did you first start on this?
Well, again, I should have kept more precise track, but it was probably around Tuesday.
Okay, very recently.
Yeah, very recently. And then I started. I tried a little bit, and then I thought, no, I went off for 24 hours just doing a little bit, and I thought, no, I've got to try a little bit more. Well, by Friday, when I go in for my IV drip with all the vitamins and glutathione and good things that help strengthen my immune system.
Yeah.
the gal, wonderful Janet Frazier, who will put the needle into my vein.
Yeah.
My veins have been really, really problematic.
Oh, I know.
And when you're sick and you have a lot of this stuff going on and the veins, all like they shrink.
Right.
She looked and she said, "Look at those veins. What have you done with those veins?"
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah, it really was amazing. And so we started having this conversation. The wonderful thing about that, you're sitting in a room with people who are all there for, either major health reasons.
Yeah.
Either chelation and getting the bad things out of their bloodstream or cancer and getting the good things back in.
Yeah.
So we started having that conversation. And it appears, that website talked about that to live, we must have an alkaline balance of someplace around 7.4 or 7.5. In other words, there's about a 3-point window, but it's not in the blood. It's in the cells, according to my folks in the
place
I go.
Yeah.
And so it's one thing to improve your intake nutritionally. It's another thing to get it into the cells, because the cells, if they are alkaline, will fight cancer. Yes.
So such a simple thing it seems like such a simple thing, water. But in fact, I was just reading the other day, our bodies as adults are about 60% water.
Really? As adults, is it become less as adults? Or?
Yeah. As infants, our body is around 79% water. And then as we age, it decreases to about 60% in healthy adults. And goes down to about 45% in really unhealthy adults.
No wonder I'm having my dehydration problems.
Oh, yeah.
And that's affecting my eyes, and that, of course, has affected everything else.
Well, and you've been struggling with this dehydration issue since you started taking all those medications after the gamma knife treatment, right?
Yeah.
That's when it really started. You know what? It just reminds me when I first started out as a young adult in Eugene, Oregon, as sort of in my young hippie days. I remember asking this one health care practitioner what was the most important thing I could do for my health, overall.
Uh-huh.
And he said, drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
And then he didn't specify what kind of water, but of course, the higher the alkaline level, you would think the better.
Well,
that was his answer to the whole thing, drink a lot of water.
Well, and that was a most marvelous story, and a book written by a man with that precise recommendation. He was a doctor in one of the prison camps under the Shah, I think, of Iran. And
yeah.
He'd come to him and ask what to do, what they could do. Of course, he had nothing. He said, drink water. And then they come back and say, oh, thank you, doctor, you've cured me.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And, of course, the medical world has poo-pooed it, and now then it became very controversial, and then you can drink too much water. It is so individual.
Right.
And that is why there's no wise way to avoid personal responsibility for one's own, understanding one's own body and its needs. And depending upon the treatment and the advice and the support of the professionals, but finally I know what it's like to live in this body and what hits me and what supports me. And so this business of the spiritual law and the law of personal responsibility being the top one, I thought
So this is your big discovery for the week. It seems like every week you've had another discovery, each week.
Well, I spoke to that topic last week, but it came home to roost this week.
Mm-hmm. What immediate results, too.
Well, it was amazing. And then I made another correlation. Now, no doctor could do this. If you're not conscious about what's going on in your body, you can't tell anybody. But it suddenly occurred to me because one night, I think it was long about Thursday night, I started having migraines when I was a kid. And as a child, I ate poorly. I had a sweet tooth. I didn't like the vegetables and the meat and all that stuff. And I had to put on pounds, and the only way they could get pounds on me was through sweets with the calories. And so I developed a sweet tooth. Well, along about, and of course became a chalkaholic. Developed migraine headaches beginning in about 7th or 8th grade. And remember that those would be frequently caused by when I would have chocolate of one sort or another. And that it started off as, oh, my, getting sick for a couple of days, sick my stomach, down, all that kind of stuff. And it finally emerged back into being simply indigestion or, let's say, in my stomach. And so if I eat chocolate, I would get a migraine headache. It wouldn't be a headache, but my vision would do funny things. Blurry, and it was just like I couldn't see. It was just these things floating around. And lately, without eating any sugar or anything of that sort, I was getting them, and I thought, this is weird. Why is this happening? Well, all of a sudden, a couple nights ago, it happened, and it happened after I thought, you know, I think I might be having too much of this pH water. And so I went back and I found a plain bottle of water with 8.8 pH in it. And no.
You tested it? Is that how you knew?
It was on the label. It'll
say. Oh, okay. All right. But you do have those pH strips that you can test with, right?
Yes. And I, no matter what I was doing, it was still coming out almost right on the border between alkaline. I was disappointed that it didn't change what the strip was indicating. So that is also one of the maybe not all that helpful in actuality for one like me. But I have a water purifier that is pH neutral, which I thought was desirable. Well, not really for somebody who is so basically acidic.
Yeah.
So that hasn't probably been the smartest thing for me to do, but why didn't I figure that out? Well, because I wasn't, one was telling me and I wasn't on top of it.
You only know when you know.
Yeah, and you only learn by living.
When you're ready to. Anyway, so you were saying you went back to this other type of water that was 8-point-something in alkaline.
Yeah, so I got it more into the alkaline, and the electrolytes are also in that essential. And I got this headache. I thought, this is weird. What do I take for a headache? Well, I always took baking soda or carbonated soda for my migraines. So my eyes would start doing funny things. It wouldn't be a headache anymore, but it would be that blurred vision, and it would take me down.
Yeah.
And, if I belched and burped enough, it would clear itself up in, 15, 20 minutes.
Interesting.
I thought, my gosh, I'm wondering if migraine headaches are related to acidity.
Oh, acidity. Uh-huh.
Wow. So I'm finding my sense that is the case. Can it be proven? I don't think anybody can prove it. What if I tell a doctor? Is the doctor going to say, well, whatever it is for you is what it is for you, because it may not be for everybody. But it may be the way I test out or sort of keep this all in check. But I think what the big thing I'm learning is how little information we have been given from however long about what is really about eating right, because the foods that we eat and that were in that little 5-minute presentation on that website makes it very clear that as a society and as a culture, we're just eating very, very wrong. Our basic diet is acidic and not alkaline, and no wonder we're getting all these illnesses.
Right. So just to make sure I understand what happened Thursday night, you had been taking this very high alkaline level water for 2 days, and you started to get the symptoms of the blurred vision related to it.
No, I had been concerned. Yeah, thank you for because it needs to be clear. I had thought, maybe I'm overdoing this, so I backed down.
Okay.
And I stopped doing it quite so much.
Yeah. And?
That's when I went into acidity and a headache.
Okay. That's what I was wondering about.
Yeah.
Okay. So you might just really be onto something.
Yeah. Well, who knows? But it's certainly onto something for myself.
For yourself. Right.
And when I went in and started talking to all the other people in this little room and the professionals, it was sort of like, can you get too much alkalinity?
Yeah.
Well, if maybe, but probably not, given my illness and my situation. But you can get too much of anything. But how about the electrolytes? Because we need electrolytes. And, well, maybe not, except the electrolytes are potassium and sodium. And if you get too much of that, it can do funny things with your heart. It can
make
it, you know, race and misfeed and do all of that. But I'm looking back at my medical history and my atrial fibrillation and my fibromyalgia and you know, and then my cancer. And seeing, oh, golly, all this is a big picture, and it has to do with not only that, but my feelings, which I talked about last time, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been focusing on a major attitude adjustment.
So basically, it sounds like what you're saying is it's like your body is a biofeedback system or mechanism.
Yeah.
And you're fine-tuning it. Like those, remember when we used to use those old biofeedback machines and it would give you information about your pulse and all those things? It seems like what you're doing is actually tuning in so to such an extent that, you know, you're not using the machine, but you're just playing using your inner knowing and your feelings and what is actually the sensory experiences inside your body as the feedback.
Yeah, and, you know, and doing the basics like that Buteyko breathing, that does make a definite difference in your in your whole sense of peace of mind, you know, at your you know, that area of feeling and thinking, which is also associated with all of the what we eat and how we breathe and what we drink.
You know, it just occurred to me that this ties in really well with the topic of epigenetics that we've been talking about lately. That because I was just thinking, well, what about your DNA and how, you know, certain things you're predisposed to, you know, develop as you age or whatever. But what this sounds like is with the epigenetic side of things, it's your environment, it's your choices, it's your feelings, it's the water you drink, it's the air you breathe, and how you breathe that are that epigenetic level, that constitute the epigenetic level of things that can actually switch some things on and other things off in your DNA.
Absolutely. You better define that term for those who may not be familiar with it.
The epigenetics?
Yeah.
It's what happens at the cellular level related to the DNA, when we think of DNA, we think of it as the hard wiring of our system, like relative to, say, a computer has the motherboard, the hard wire of the computer, it's the hardware. But then the epigenetics would be comparable to the software systems that you put into the computer. It's much more fluid and flexible and much easier to change, much easier to switch, to make alterations. It makes alterations to that hard wiring.
Uh-huh.
So it happens at a cellular level, but I also think it just plain happens at a an energy level. Even prior to birth, prior to conception, I believe, karmically, we're making choices which basically are impacting which parts of our DNA come forward and which sort of go to the back burner. That's what the epigenetic level is.
And, you know, I think it's just fascinating, Tara, that
mm-hmm.
we're living this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it really is critically important for us to, I think, get this message out, because it is the metaphysical part of our being that has gotten ignored or lost and over time as we've become so consumed by the material world.
Exactly, and things have become so complicated in our lives, and the medical health, you know, so-called healthcare profession is so complicated. But what it sounds like from listening to you is that we need to get back to the simplicity of how we breathe, what we drink in terms of water. Just the basics. The really
basics. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and if people are, you know, we need to claim the basics as our own personal responsibility, because there's no one that can make me healthy if I am not living healthily.
Right. It makes me think about my grandmother, the one I told you the stories about before, who lived to be 108. And she didn't take any, you know, she didn't have any big secret, you know, except she just didn't ingest a lot of bad things into her body. And she had a basically positive outlook. But, you know, one thing she did share with me was that throughout her life, she was in the habit of taking hot showers, alternating with really cold showers. She just would do it. She did that every time she took a shower, really hot and then really cold. It's just another really simple thing that what it does is it stimulates your circulation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another, you know, it doesn't cost any money. Nobody can patent it. you know, and so there's no big, you know, nobody makes a big deal about it. But it's one of those things that gets passed down through people's life. You know, you wonder why certain families have people who live to be in their hundreds, a lot of them, like in my family or Yisha's family or whatever. Maybe it's as simple as some things like this.
Well, let's say it's you never know just how – she had the privilege of growing up before the things had become so contaminated. And so her body was probably stronger than somebody's, you know, the younger generation today who've had mothers who've had bad habits like me and, you know, that sort of thing.
Sure. Exactly. That's another piece of it. Yeah.
But it is about the spiritual journey of personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and no wonder our medical system is so expensive, is because what we're doing is making us ill. You know, we are. I am focusing on my effort to fully embrace, believe, and be confident that my body is a walking miracle for self-correction.
Well, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing to say. And, you know, it reminds me of what you said last week about how your body has brought you to your knees.
Yeah.
It's the teacher. It's kind of the ultimate teacher. You can't ignore it. If you do, it's at your own peril, right?
Absolutely.
And it reminds me of a talk we were having earlier about the Hanged Man card in the Major Arcana of the Tarot, that it's all about hanging from the Tree of Life upside down in an attitude of surrender. And it's the 12th card, which reduces to a 3, and the 3 card in the Major Arcana is the Empress card, or the Mother, the Feminine, the Earth. And basically the message is that it's about surrender to the earth and to the wisdom of the earth and to the wisdom of the feminine. Mm-hmm. And it is, as I listen to you talk, it feels like this is exact. I get the image of the Hanged Man card pointing toward the Empress, you know, right. And you surrendering to the wisdom of your body.
Well, that is what we're all here to mm-hmm. do,
mm-hmm.
because we're all made differently, but of the same things.
And how is that process going for you? Do you struggle with it still, the process of surrender? Are you more accepting of it and more in alignment with it than ever?
Yes, I am in that respect, but having complete confidence. And what Greg Braden has said, don't pray with request, pray with thanks. So I am thanking my body and the source, my God, my whatever name I want to use or whatever, for my healing and for my whole.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a friend of mine had a little song, said, you sing this to yourself.
Okay, we're going to get to end this one on a song.
Oh, my. Every little cell is happy, healthy. Every little cell is well, well, well. Every little cell says, I'm so happy. Every little cell says, I'm so well. Happy, swell, I'm so well. Oh, every little cell is well, well, well.
Oh, my God, that's perfect. Isn't that? I don't think there's anything else we need to say beyond that.
And I just, it's sort of like if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can create, accomplish miracles. Well, I've got to believe I can accomplish miracles.
And doesn't Greg Braden and others who talk about manifestation, they talk about that it comes from the heart, the manifestation that can't be a thought or thinking manifestation doesn't work nearly as well as feeling from the heart of
right.
gratitude for what you're already experiencing.
That's right. And my latest other little wrinkle that I started this week is that I have through the school learned about which form my body responds best to. But I remember you and I did that session with Sean Martins.
Oh, you said, yeah.
And I found out that movement and sound is what turns me on. It really activates me. So I'm now sleeping at night with this perfectly wonderful, gentle sounds, like when you go in to have a treatment of the acupuncturist or a yoga studio or, wherever. That beautiful esoteric those sounds. And, they've helped. It's helped. You wake up with a more positive mental attitude.
Maybe you should record that song you just sang and just play it over and over on a loop.
Well, I'd get awful tired of that, and especially my voice.
Yeah, report back to us next week on how that works.
Okay.
Well, but we're definitely over our 30-minute time to stay on. So, thank you for that, and close off on this.
Let's close off. And I want to turn the table on you and interview about all this exciting stuff you're doing with DNA.
I can't wait to share some of that. So let's do that soon.
Yeah, let's do that soon.
Okay.
All right, dear one.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a beautiful rest of Mother's Day.
You too, and happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.